It's 1:17 afternoons with Aaron here on Kate Radio, and we appreciate this guy taking time out of his busy schedule. Maverick hockey, they're going to the NCAA tournament. Minnesota State had a wild ending to the CCHA championship game on Saturday. You know him. You know the voice. Our former sports director here at Kate Radio, and of course, the voice of Maverick football and Maverick men's hockey. Mike Sullivan joins us. And Sully, a good afternoon, and thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, no problem, Aaron. Good to talk to you again. And winter's swiftly giving away to spring from the looks of the weather here.
Absolutely, yes. 66 degrees. It doesn't sound like hockey weather anymore, but there's plenty to talk about when it comes to hockey. Before we talk about the game, Sully, we got to get people updated. How are the Sullivans doing? How's the family doing?
They're doing well. Darce works here at the station with me, and our daughter Heather is married now. She's expecting her second child, so we've got a two-year-old grandson right now, and looks like we're going to get his little brother here coming up in a little bit.
Oh, that is awesome. Congratulations. Of course, Sully works at Radio Mankato. And Mike, let's paint the picture, and I guess my first question for you is, were you done broadcasting when the game, were you still on the air?
Yes, we were still in the air. We probably, had it been a regular night, would have been off the air maybe in another 4 or 5 minutes. So we were definitely winding it down, and somebody from one of the stat guys from upstairs came by, and he looked at us funny, and then he looked at me, and we're talking in the air. And my color man, John Myers, and I, we're going back and forth, and we look at him, and he goes, "It wasn't a good goal." And I'm thinking, what? What's he talking about? And, you know, then it became trying to find somebody that knew something over the next course of about 15 minutes, and nobody really seemed to know other than the fact that it looked like it wasn't a good goal. Somebody said they saw some video, and it didn't score the way that everybody thought that it did. So we remained kind of in a mode here, and I thought, well, once I got to the point when I saw the two athletic directors down the ice, I said, okay, something is going on here, and now we better not. I'm telling my color guy, we can't go off the air now, because if they're going to disallow that goal somehow, people will turn to the station if they hear something else, and they're going to assume that the game ended the way that everybody thought. The trophy had been handed out. Teams had gone through the handshake lines. The guys had skated the trophy around the rink a couple of times, saluted everybody. We had over 5,000 people in the building. Yeah, it was 5,126 in the house, and it was crazy. And most of those people were gone, and so we had every reason to believe it was the end of this weekend, the last home game. And lo and behold, then word came upstairs that they were looking at the goal. And apparently, the goal was reviewed initially after the game, but apparently somebody saw something on another angle that said they didn't think that the puck or the goal had actually come up underneath. And so they said, they're looking from different camera angles now, and they saw indeed that the goal popped up just enough height that Josh Groh going by and the goaltender trying to fight him off, that puck went into the net, but it went in not in the regular open aperture, but underneath the pipe and into the back
okay.
of the net.
That's what it was. Now, we'll take one step back yet with Sully. We're talking about the CCHA championship game in Mankato on Saturday. Bemidji State is the opponent. We're in overtime. And you're talking about the goal that, again, everybody thought was the game winner. And the crazy part, Sully, is that, they got the cup. I forget what the name of the cup is.
The Mason Cup. Yeah.
So they get the Mason Cup, and there's a celebration, and fans are at home. They're at sports bars. They've left the game, and then they're finding out probably from their friends or on social media that, no, the game is going to resume. Have you ever, been a part of something so crazy or even heard of something so crazy?
No, and so we began this. We stayed in the air. We were on the air for roughly almost an hour before they played again, and we had a former assistant coach came by. He was with us on the air for a while. The original coach, Don Brose, he came upstairs. He put on a headset, so we talked to him for a while. And I go, "Brosey, in all your coaching time, have you ever run across anything like this?" He said, "No." He goes, "But I'll tell you this: if you have the stat package and it's been signed by the officials, it's a done deal." And and so the you look in the CCHA rules, that's what it is. Once that stat pack is signed, the game is final. But it became obvious that the goal had not scored as it should have, and so then it was up to Don Lucia, in his first year as the new commissioner of the CCHA. He had to make the call, and he made the right call, because you can look over, Aaron, you've seen it, I'm sure. I don't care whether we're talking about high school, college, or professional. We've seen games with endings that weren't right, and nothing was ever done to rectify them. And, you know, finding out and getting a message 3 days later from an official crew or a school, yeah, by the way, we made a mistake, you guys shouldn't have lost. But 2 days later, what does that mean? Nothing. And so they made the call that they're going to resurface the ice, and then they're going to have a five-minute warm-up period, and then we're going to pick it up right from where it left off. It was just roughly over 3 minutes. Yeah, the goal in overtime was scored originally about the basically right around the 2:41 mark. So they had to pick it up from there, and so out they came. And I'm talking to one of our former assistant coaches, and I'm thinking, hey, psychologically, who's going to be in worse shape here? Now, the Mavericks got the cup in the locker room. They're celebrating. You know, your mind as a competitor, you kind of focus away. You're not in your game focus anymore. You're in celebratory mode. Bemidji's over there. Probably they're not feeling too good about things. But if their coach walks in the room and says, hey, look, we'll give you another chance to win the game, you're going to get up for it. But surprisingly, when they came back out again, puck drop, they picked it up. The Mavericks were all over them, and it was one trip down into the MSU end, and the Mavericks came down, and this time there was a no-doubter. Jack McNeely, the veteran senior out of Lakeville, fired it into the back of the net, and it ended the same score, just a different winning goal score than was in the first time.
Mike Sullivan, the voice of Minnesota State men's hockey, with a radio man, Cato, describing what happened on Saturday. And Sully, you mentioned the stat pack had to be signed by the official. So was it signed? And then
yes.
Commissioner Don Lucia had to come and overturn that.
That's essentially what happened. Now, I'm speaking without having talked to Don Lucia, but that is basically what happened, that they decided, you know what, we're gonna do right here, and we're going to play this game, and whatever team deserves to win it will.
God, that's just it's still amazing. I think if the NCAA like men's basketball tournament wasn't going on, I mean, this story should be, and I don't know if ESPN or if they picked it up, this should be like a nationwide story, because it's so intriguing, because like you mentioned, nobody ever sees this happen anywhere.
No, and ESPN, I think they did a little thing on it yesterday morning. You can clearly see when they slow it down of the one camera angle, their goaltender, Matthias Scholl, slides across to stop our forward, Josh Grohl, who's coming around the goal crease and trying to unload a backhander. You can see one of Scholl's skates hits the post, and the post moves a little bit, but it kind of flips a little bit inwards, and you can see the pipe moves up off the ice enough for a puck to get through. It wasn't up very long, and it wasn't wide where it was a gaping hole, but it was big enough that the puck got through, and the camera revealed that.
So, Sully, I'm sure you talked to, you know, the head coach and the players after the game. What was some of the reaction you got from them after, again, being part of what is, in my mind, a very historical game?
Well, the amazing thing is that we emptied the building out of 5,000 people by the time. Well, word got out. People were in cars driving home listening to the pregame. There were people sitting in bars and restaurants around downtown Mankato. They had beers, they had burgers, and literally people got up and left the restaurants and left their food. Some people tried to take their beers with them. They wouldn't let them do that. And we probably got back about 1,500 people into the building. There were Bemidji people in there. The band director for MSU, he was listening to the pregame on the way, or postgame on the way home, and he started making phone calls. Well, the band came back into the building again. They started picking it up, and when the Mavericks scored, this time there was basically both teams just went right to the locker room. The Maverick guys went over and saluted the fans for being there and saluted the band, and then they headed back into the locker room, and that was it. I think everybody was kind of amazed but happy that they ended up winning the game, and they knew they were going no matter what, because they've got more wins now at 35 than any other team in college hockey. But for Bemidji, they had to come back out. The only way they were going to the NCAA playoffs was winning the game Saturday night. That would have given them the automatic bid. but the Mavericks sealed that up. And for the Beavers, they lost all six times to Minnesota State this year. If you follow that series, very unusual.
Six times.
The Mavericks won both games in Bemidji and both games in Mankato. It's the oldest rivalry that the Mavericks have, and it goes back to 1974. They played at the D3 level, the D2, the D1. And I don't care whether you're in Bemidji, whether you're in Mankato, or it's a neutral site, these games are more like what we saw last Saturday night, hard-fought, close to the vest, and pretty exciting hockey to watch.
Now, Sully, let's talk about what's coming up next for the Mavericks, because we know we have plenty of Minnesota State fans here in our listening area, alumni all over the place. It looks like, are you getting a trip out to Albany, New York? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's the Albany Regional. The Mavericks will play a team they've never played before in Harvard, and that game will be at 11 a.m. Our time on Thursday morning. So, in North Dakota and Notre Dame are the other teams in that regional. So, it'll be interesting, particularly if Minnesota State and North Dakota prevail, because they were longtime rivals in the WCHA, and I believe we're going to play them again next year in a non-conference series. We've only seen them a couple of series since the teams switched into the NCHC, and then the Mavericks remained in the WCHA until this year when the revamped league became the CCHA. So that should be a fairly exciting regional. And Mavericks, again, have never played Harvard. I know they're a little younger team then, but they got to be good. They beat Quinnipiac, and Quinnipiac last year was the team Minnesota State had to come from behind and beat in the opening round of the Western Regional out in Colorado in overtime to get in and then beat the Gophers in the regional championship last year.
Sully, if anyone wants to listen to the game on Thursday, what's a good stream or app to get the game?
You can just come to our website, Radio Mankato or KTOE, and live on air, you can hit that button and go. And I know there's various video ways you can, although I'm not sure so much how it works now that national television has it. I imagine there you may have to jump through some more hoops, but I'm sure that you can stream that as well.
Don't watch TV. Tune in to Sully. You listen to the radio. That's where you find sports. Again, Mike Sullivan, the voice of Minnesota State Maverick men's hockey, recapping a wild ending on Saturday night. Sully, it had been too long. Thank you so much for the time. Good talking with you, and good luck to the Mavs the rest of the way.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's a fun team to watch. You know, they've won now 15 games in a row and 24 out of the last 25. They're a very steady team. They don't get up too high, they don't get too low, and they take care of their business, and they're fun to watch. So it'll be great if they can go all the way, that's for sure.
Have a safe trip out to New York.
All right. Thanks, sir, and talk to you anytime.
Sounds good. Again, Mike Sullivan, the voice of Maverick Hockey. It's 1:30 at